We don't have Rainn Wilson, I'll tell you.
Right, and good luck getting him.
I like Rainn Wilson. I would love to have Rainn Wilson there, but do you think?
No, I don't think.
Good luck getting him, you know.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I'm Bud Dickman.
Good luck getting him.
I got it, Margaret. Thank you.
Now, I'm Robert Leonard.
I'm Margaret Gray, and
we know good luck getting him. This is General Galen Shaw, who, by the way, I had to walk out on the Saturday cinema.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about that. It's Phil Hendry. So it's Monday, and it's also our Sunday Monday, as we call it. We're streaming live here on a Sunday night, and you'll also hear this on Monday. So what happened?
Well, what happened was this. We're getting ready to do this Saturday cinema, which, by the way, I guess drops today. Is that right, Bud?
Yeah, the Saturday cinema will drop a day. And
what do you mean drop a day? He means drop today.
Drop today.
All right.
Yeah, Saturday cinema's going to drop today, and it's B with Chris Norton.
Have we done the second one yet?
I do not believe we've done a second one.
Yes, well, I'll do the second one. But I, you know, what happened was I looked out the window. I was getting myself a cup of some of the hot noodle soup.
Yes, the Lipton.
Yes, I was getting some Lipton noodle soup, standing at the market, and I look out the window, and I see that clown wagon what's the guy's name again?
Yeah, Chris Norton.
Yeah, I see his clown wagon pull up.
What do you mean a clown wagon?
You know what I'm talking about. It's got the big fat meats on it.
Yeah, it's the 5-speed Camaro.
Yeah, right there, what the man said. That 5-speed Camaro said, is he, you know, what I think he is? And I believe it was you, Robert, right?
Yeah, Teddy's co-hosting a Saturday cinema.
And as soon as I heard co-hosting Saturday cinema, I felt a cramping, I felt a tight gas. And did I have gas or didn't I?
Do you have to put it that way?
Did I not?
Yes, you did, and it was fetid and...
It was fetid and corrosive.
All right, so meaning you did not do the...
No, I did not.
Because you didn't want to do it with him.
No, I did not want to do it with him.
And why is that?
Why is that? Because everything turns into a filthy reference to the size of his...
Jesus. All right, I know that we wanted to have Chris on to talk about Saturday Cinema. I didn't know we'd have Chris on to talk about why it is you won't work with him on Saturday Cinema, but why not? Chris Norton joining us now from Redondo Beach, California. Let's talk a little bit here about why it is we somehow lost you, Chris. At least we lost the general on the, the hosting of Saturday Cinema.
Yeah, I mean, I'm...
Well, let me kick it off. I'm not going to host with you, Chris. Because the last time you and I tried to do one together, it was that movie. What the hell was that movie?
It was a movie called, and the people have not seen it yet, it's called Whistle Stop.
Yeah, Whistle Stop! Yeah.
Yeah, and he said, well, what's Whistle Stop? A sex act? And it went down from there.
It sounded to me like it was a sex act. I'm not familiar with it.
Well, why don't we start there? You're not familiar with it.
All right, so Chris, what...
Phil, you went Chris?
Yeah, just like David Bowie to do
In Changes. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, just like David Bowie, man.
Isn't that nice? So getting back to what we're talking about. So, Chris, what is it with Whistle Stop?
Is it me?
No, I said Chris.
I think...
Because I just assumed answer that question myself.
All right.
Wait, I'll answer it, because I thought it was a sex act.
Yeah, you thought it was a sex act. I said, what do you mean a sex act? And you said, figure it out. And so I'm sitting there like a jackass for 10 minutes thinking, Whistle Stop. Yeah, I can see how it could be a sex act, but what kind? Then I'm thinking anal. God damn it.
What in the hell are you guys talking about?
That's what happened, you know.
I did not start nothing. All I try to do is come on and talk about, you know, my own personal sexuality and sensuality.
Well, it ain't about your sexuality and sensuality. It's about co-hosting the show, which is Saturday Cinema. Now, here's the problem. We still don't have two of them. I promised people a double bill this week. That was for Saturday. Nothing happened Saturday. Today is now Monday, for all intents and purposes. And today's the day that those two movies should be dropping.
Well, I don't know about the second movie. I did the very best I could. I hosted the first movie.
Yeah, I was not. I'll be involved in the second movie as soon as we get done here.
All right, so you did do one, Chris?
Yeah, I was like the second, because General Shaw browned out.
I don't like the way you say browned out.
Well, I mean, you left. You know, you're supposed to do it with me, and you didn't do it. I would suck. I had to sit there.
Yeah, you had to sit there and suck. It's a good one, General.
Oh, yeah, it's a real good one, General. Thanks so much.
Well, look at Chris, I'm listening to you, and you're talking about bangability, beaverability,
What is he talking about?
He was talking. He was putting a sexual connotation on everything, and in that whisk. And then, did you clear that film, Sex Madness film?
Oh, you know, you guys are giving away.
Did you or did you not?
Yeah, I did. I did do Sex Madness, or not Sex Madness. I did Sex Madness.
He did that movie, Sex Madness.
All right, don't start giving away all the movies that we're planning on producing.
Well, that one didn't get into the can because of technical problems. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, we had a big, big cluster bang, Mr. Henry, this weekend with all the different movies, what we were trying to do. The first movie we tried to do was Sex Madness. Well, we tried with Whistle Stop. Then we tried to do Sex Madness. And then we tried to do Dr. Sex. Okay, and all those movies.
Boy, we're talking about Dr. Sex. I mean, what are they? This is all movies about sex, huh?
Yeah, I mean, that Mr. Henry cleared them.
I cleared them for Chris. But, so what was he doing?
Well, for starters, that Sex Madness is all about getting syphilis and gonorrhea. And there's Norton going, yeah, you may get gonorrhea extra large.
That was my nickname for calling the gonorrhea.
Chris, this is a disease that killed people many years ago.
Right, but the movie was so... the movie is Cornball Deluxe.
It might have been Cornball Deluxe, but it was a very important film. Then he said, you don't get the sniffles, you get the syphils. And all kinds of, jeez, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's real funny.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to do what I gotta do.
Chris, there are some things you don't want to kid about, and one of them is the deadly, deadly connotations of, what did you call it again?
Well, that's the other thing. He said in Japan they call it Godzilla, King of the Apes, or some shit like, you know...
I did not say Godzilla, King of the Apes.
I heard about you calling it Godzilla. Is that right?
Yeah, I said in Japan they call it Godzilla. You know, Queen of the Monster. And then, the other thing was, I was supposed to do a monster movie. They wouldn't let me do a monster movie.
It's not that they didn't let you. It's that they had technical problems.
Yeah, they still weren't going to let you.
Well, who's they? Okay.
I was the general.
Yeah, but I figured it was my call. You weren't around.
All right, well, here's what happened. When he pulled up, you split, right?
You better believe it.
Yeah, see? So I was left to my own devices.
I didn't tell you what to do. I didn't tell you. I didn't try to stop you. But I'm not going to sit there and listen to you talking about Godzilla, Queen of the Apes, or whatever the hell.
What does that mean, Godzilla, Queen of the Apes?
They're making a joke out of gonorrhea and calling it Godzilla.
Yeah, so, well, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, gonorrhea is like a giant monster. All right, and it comes out of Tokyo Bay.
No, it doesn't come out of Tokyo Bay. You know, if you wanted to do that movie what is it called again?
Sex Monster.
Yeah.
No, it's called Sex Madness. I think it's called Sex Madness.
Well, isn't that great?
You clowns don't even know the name of the movie that you saw.
It was called Sex Madness. Maus.
Sex Maus.
Sex. Fuck.
Hey.
Well, I mean, that's...
Anyway, I'm gonna clean this act up the best way I know how, Phil. I'll do it my movie after the show.
Now, let me just say this. You cats should have worked together. You got no business getting in your car and splitting.
I didn't get in my car and split. I just said I felt sick, and I hung around and watched him clown it up.
Yeah, there I am struggling to try to do Sex Madness, Dr. Sex, Whistle Stop. I finally did a movie called Shock, which was a film noir starring Vincent Price. I don't think it was as good as Whistle Stop.
Oh, Shock is a great movie.
I thought it was way better than Whistle Stop. And a Sex Madness movie is the stupidest movie that I ever did see.
All right, Sex Madness is one of those flicks like Reefer Madness that comes from the 30s. It's ridiculously over the top. It's dumb. It's a silly movie.
What was it supposed to be?
It was like an old public service movie about Sez. Telling you, hey, you know, you better not. And then it had, like, a lesbian scene.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not. I mean, they had, like, lesbians. This one lesbian was talking to one girl in the office, and you knew that she was a lesbian because she wore a sports jacket, you know? The other girl...
She wore a sports jacket.
Yeah, I think in that scene, they kind of butched her up a little bit.
Yeah, they butched her up. And then they had a scene where all the guys go to this club where there's burlesque, and all the various burlesque dancers, and this one dude has got the hots for the one chick that dances burlesque.
Right, and you're talking about bangability factor and Beaver Rambo, all this crap.
I never said Beaver Rambo. You're the one who said that. I never said that, and I was also talking to some other people.
Phil, if you don't mind, I'd like to get up and leave because this is injuring, not injuring, but injuring my sensibilities as a woman.
Well, Ms. Gray, we all know that you've seen the filth and you've...
You want to shut... Wait a minute. Wait a minute. So what is this? Did the movie get done or not?
No, it did not. I had a... but that's when the computer, when it froze up.
Yeah, that's the other thing, Phil. You got a real garbage can computer here for this TriCaster. Who'd you get it from?
Never mind who we got it from. All right. But all's well that ends well, because I think it's working fine now. All right, so after the show, we get another movie in a can, right?
Yeah, we'll see, depending upon how, cooperative the equipment is.
But anyway, Mr. Henry, I wanted you to know that I had a great time, but yeah, I did that on my own, because the general, he would not do it.
When I saw that five-speed, whatever you call that thing.
That's the Camaro.
Yeah, that five-speed Camaro pull up, and there's Norton with the gel in his hair, and he's got the tattoo. Shit. No way.
Well, I mean, I did the best with what I got.
So coming up, we have on Saturday Cinema, it'll be a double bill today. We've got Shock and some other piece of crap.
Yeah, well, I guess I got to do a horror movie, is that it?
Yeah, do a horror movie with, we'll get another guest commentator.
Find a guest commentator to do this horror movie with.
Well, you know, people have been requesting Herb Sewell.
Are you out of your mind or something?
Hey, Herb Sewell would be great.
I got to work with a bona fide nut. He should have done that movie you did.
Yeah, I did a movie called Shock. It should have been Herb Sewell. And I should have been allowed to do Sex Madness, too. And Dr. Sess. Did you see the Dr. Sess?
What is Dr. Sex?
Dr. Sess was made in L.A. in the 60s. And it's very interesting. It shows a lot of, you know, I mean, I'm going to try to put it as delicately as I can, Ms. Gray. It shows boob.
It shows nudity.
Yeah, it shows nude, but it shows boob. But it shows boob in a, I would say, boob. It's boob acceptable.
What is that supposed to mean? Boob acceptable? What is it?
Boob acceptable. It means that it's not overdone. And then they also showed butt. They showed boob, but they also showed.
Okay, we get what they showed, man. So that's Dr. Sex, but you didn't do that one.
No, I didn't do that one. That's the computer overheated.
Well, it might be something, that might be God's vengeance on you. You never can tell about that, Norton, so...
All right, well, I mean, I did the good. I did the good as best I could.
Maybe you did the good the best you could.
I mean, I did the best I could.
We know what you did, man. Thanks very much, Chris. Appreciate it.
Okay, Mr. Henry, thanks. Oh, by the way, can I...
Chris Norton, all right, so I think that is fine.
Well, it may be fine for you, but I just want you to understand one thing. When I saw that five-speed Camaro...
I know, pull up. You didn't want to be on the air with the guy because he's just too much of a, whatever he is, a white trash douchebag or something, right?
Yeah, as a matter of speaking, yes, he is.
All right, we're going to be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We've got coming up on the show today, as we mentioned, Ted Bell, and he'll be discussing the restaurant. I went out to dinner at the Grill on the Alley on Saturday night.
Well, he was listening to the pre-show, and he got upset that you mentioned that. You know, Ted's in a fight for his life right now with Hong Kong Charlie and some of the steak places, especially when they mentioned the Northwoods Inn cheese spread and so on and so forth. So,
well, Ted's our sponsor, and Ted is our recommended steakhouse whenever I'm in Beverly Hills. I just, you know, I got to be able to mention other restaurants.
Well, apparently Ted doesn't want that at all.
Yeah, he's getting ready to push the eject button on this project.
Oh, is that right? Well, I wouldn't want him to do that.
Then anyway, Frank will be on to talk about Steve Bannon. What part alcohol plays in Steve Bannon's probable eventual exit from the White House?
Does he know something we don't know?
No.
All right, and then Jeff Dowder with, speaking of alcohol, the Goblin Boy drink, a Cisco green apple wine and Mountain Dew. Where'd he get this?
Well, you got that from reading about Steve Bannon.
Anyway, also Jay Santos and a full copy of Fairy and the Helmet. At least he's got large portions of that poem written about him and his, compatriots there, the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Right now, let's go to the traffic here with a good friend there, Bob Bacon. Bob?
Hey, Gordy, I'm down freeway right now. I'm on the chat, man. And we're going to try and get out there as quickly as fast as we can. That traffic is going to be extremely up there, man. It's got a high tide and a pump turn down there about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Hey, you know, you get there, Ben? You found that, Ben? You've been there. And you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. You'll be looking good out there. Don't let them do it to you. Don't ever let them do it to you. Because if they do, you're going to find yourself walking bull-legged as you have a smile on your face. Go to Sky Boy.
I'm drinking walking bull-legged. I got to have a damn deal in front of me. We got to let the car bend over and kind of change the flat tire. I got to walk him bull-legged all the way home. I'm about to have that fit for Lenny. I'm told about Charles Luck as well. Because the South Trail has got this shame. And there's a douchebag out there. Full douche alert. 100 miles a day. Let's go to Boy and Sky Beauty and Sweet Town. Never let those do.
Goo goo gaga.
The Richter Simpson difference. That's me, Richter Simpson. And I can help you tone up, I can help you tighten up, and I can help you make a great, great start in becoming physically fit for the coming summer months. It's the Richter Simpson difference. Come on out to the Richter Simpson gyms. We've got them all over the area. We've got one in Parlor, we've got one in the Foothill area, we've got one in downtown Crenton, and now, new to all of you people there in Spoke Valley, Richter Simpson brings it. And when I bring it, friend, there's not going to be anybody trying to keep me out of the room. I mean, I bust right on through. Richter Simpson. Give him 30 days, he'll beef it up, tighten up, stretch, and limber. You'll have larger guns, a bigger set of thighs, and a buttock that can stop bullets. Richter Simpson. That's my name. Don't wear it out. The Richter Simpson difference. Visit him now. Go online to Richter Simpson. Just look for that name. Follow it wherever it goes. It may even be like a clothing store or a hat rack, or it could be a car wash, but whatever. Just follow Richter Simpson. Eventually, you'll find me somewhere in there. I used to work at a lot of car washes. Richter Simpson. Hi, everybody. This is Kane Bullweevil. They call me the Bullweevil because I'm a man of great action, and somebody wants you to have a really, really good time to come out to Bullweevil's. It's a dance emporium like no others. Every kind of dance, all kinds of music. Have a really good time. Have your birthday party. Have your wedding anniversary out too, okay? This is Kenny the Bullweevil. Bring it on out to the Bullweevil. The Bullweevil. Kenny the Bullweevil. The great dance emporium. Opens at 8, closes at 8:30, 24 hours later. 24 hours and a half hour. The only place that stays open 24 solid hours, then closes for 24 hours, then reopens for 24 hours until everyone is insane with exhaustion. Kenny the Bullweevil, I hope you can join us. And I see down below, it's easy to lose
yourself, I know. Can't hear what you're shouting. All right, welcome back. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Let's do it. Let's jump all over it, man. Let's find out what's happening there with Ted and the rest of the gang, man.
Ted's a Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Well, I'll tell you what's happening with Ted and the rest of the gang is the fact that my good friend Phil Hendry is eating at the grill on the alley. What's that about? We're going to find out here this next segment with Ted Val. Ted's in Beverly Hills going out there, yeah.
Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
All right, Ted, so I take it you're upset that I mentioned the grill on the alley?
Yeah, I'm a little bit upset you're mentioning it again. Now, look, I know a lot of the guys in town. I know, as Noah Cross, or excuse me, John Houston said in Chinatown, he said, I still got a few friends in town and a few teeth in my head. But you coming on your program and saying, oh, hey, I had a steak at the grill on the alley. Phil, understand something. I'm your sponsor. And I know that you want to mention other restaurants that you go to, but I would appreciate it if in the context of mentioning another restaurant, you go, I've been to the grill on the alley, but it tastes like they cooked their steak in sewage, and I'd much rather go to Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Well, you can't expect him to say something like that.
Whoa, wait. Who am I talking to here?
This is Margaret, all right?
Margaret, thank you. But isn't there a middle ground? Why do you want me to say such things?
Because I want people to understand I am the sponsoring steakhouse of this show. The minute you start talking about how good things are that aren't how good steaks are that are not Ted's of Beverly Hills, I got to tell you.
By the way, Ted, we're looking at you on Skype. Why do you keep going to your nose?
Why do I keep what?
You keep going to your nose like you're swatting something away.
I got an itch. Oh, my God.
Dad, you probably got an itch or something.
What, you got an itch?
Yes, I got an itch. So what?
All right, Ted, it's just very disturbing.
Well, now everyone knows. No one can see it except you. All right? Yes, I've got something going on with my nose. I'll figure it out later on.
All right, we're talking to Ted Bell here. The Grill on the Alley. Do you know the place?
Yes, I know the place. And when they opened up here in Beverly Hills, and they've got another one somewhere, but I know they got the new one there in Westlake Village. When they opened up here in Beverly Hills, I said to Jerry Souserman, who's one of the longtime restaurateurs here in Beverly Hills, I said, how long do you think that place is going to stay open? And he said, what do you mean? I said, the Grill on the Alley. Now, what's in an alley? And he said, well, Ted, no. I said, no. What is in an alley? What do you find more than anything else in an alley? And he said, well, what, dead bodies? Ha, ha, ha. I said, come on, get serious, will you? For the first time in your life, Jerry, get serious. And he looks at me. He's all shocked and dumbfounded. He goes, Jesus, you know. And he finally said, well, what do I find in an alley? Is that the question? I said, yes. What do you find in alleys? He said, winos? I said, Jesus, you know, Houserman, you are dumber than you look.
All right, well, what do you find in an alley?
What the hell?
Come on, will you, Ted? We're waiting for the answer to this.
You find garbage cans. Oh!
Man, you know, you're right.
Yeah, yes, I know I'm right. Garbage cans. So when you say that you have a restaurant called The Grill on the Alley, that means you've got your patrons sitting next to garbage cans. Thank you. Okay?
All right. I doubt seriously that that's the image that comes to mind.
Why would it come to mind?
Well, I think there's another image for alley, Ted. When you say The Grill on the Alley, it could be an alley like the jazz alley, the music alley. There's all a tin pan alley. There's all kinds of alleys. And they all represent access to exciting or interesting places.
Yeah, like a dumpster. Hey, Bill, I'm talking to a guy over here.
Hey, hold on.
And you're not talking to a guy, you're talking to a woman.
All right, Bill, I'm talking to a woman over here.
Do you mind, Ted, just stay with me here for a second?
Sorry.
All right, we're talking to Ted Bell here, The Grill in the Alley. Now,
No, we're not talking about the grill. We're talking to Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills about some restaurant you mentioned during your pre-show that you had a steak at, and you said it was phenomenal, and you said the service is this, that, and something else.
And it was. It was. But the fact of the matter is, yes, you are the official steakhouse of the Phil Henry Show.
How come I never hear you talking about, hey, I had a great steak at Ted's of Beverly Hills the other night?
You hear it all the time, man. You know you do.
Well, maybe I'm away from the radio. I don't know.
Phil mentions your restaurant as much as he mentions anybody else's. Not to mention the fact that he gives you a lot of free play. How many times you been on this show and not paid for it?
Oh, my God, man. I mean, you really...
Well, Ted, isn't it true?
If it's true, it's nothing I'm going to talk about. Give me a break.
Well, it is true, and there have been times you've been on here for free plug in a restaurant. I don't care. I'm glad to do it. All I said was I stopped off at a restaurant. It was good. You know, we had a steak.
No, you said it was great. And then you said, by the way, folks, here's Mr. 2,000 calories a day. Oh, really? Tell everybody about that. What was it? 10-layer chocolate cake.
Yeah, they had a 10-layer chocolate cake.
Well, what the hell kind of diet is that, Phil?
We ordered one piece. I didn't eat the thing. Maria did.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And
how do they get a 10-layer chocolate cake anyway?
It looks like a pancake. It's about as thick as a pancake.
Yeah, that's probably how they do it. They just cook it in a very, very small pan.
You want to ask me? Because I'm the restaurateur, okay?
I didn't know you had a 10-layer chocolate cake.
I do not have one. I'm going to have one now. You can bet your sweet ass on that. But the fact is this, Phil. I would like it if you would say the following thing. And I think David Hall is going to call in here in a minute to back me up on this. And that is the following. Yes, I went to a restaurant.
Yeah, I got David, by the way, right now. You want to talk to him?
Yeah, put him on, will you?
All right, who is this?
Yeah, David Hall. Hold on for a minute.
Hey, David, so what's the story?
Hey, David, how you doing? It's Ted Bell.
Yeah, listen, Ted and Phil, you know, I would like Ted to be treated a little more respectfully, Phil, so that when you say, I ate at a restaurant and it's good, but compared to Ted's of Beverly Hills, it tastes like someone threw up on my plate. Okay? Because as far as I'm concerned, you know, and or anything, it doesn't have to be that harsh.
Well, wait a minute, will you? I mean, do we have to be that denigrating to another restaurant?
Who is your paid sponsor?
That's what I've been trying to tell him, you know. I am the paid sponsor.
Who is your paid sponsor is Ted Bell.
Of course.
All right. So there's nothing wrong with mentioning another restaurant.
Bill, you can mention any restaurant you want. But what's your name again?
I'm David. Jesus Christ. I'm David G. Hall.
Okay, don't worry about it, all right? Just thank you very much. As David G. Hall just said, you can mention, hey, I ate at the Grill on the Alley in Westlake Village. It was good. There was just a hint of a fecal matter. You don't have to be that graphic.
No, you don't have to do that, but just say, you know, that it doesn't taste all that great.
A hint of fecal matter, huh?
He was kidding.
I said I was kidding, yes. But you got to say something that says, yes, it was good, but compared to Ted's of Beverly Hills, I think it would gag a buzzard off a meat wagon.
Yeah, that's always been a line that I've liked. Compared to Ted's of Beverly Hills, it would gag a buzzard off a meat wagon. Now, that doesn't mean that it's bad food.
Oh, no, not at all.
Well, what are you saying, Phil?
Gag a buzzard off a meat wagon.
Compared to Ted's of Beverly Hills. That's what I'm trying to say.
Take it easy, will you, David, all right? People are going to think the guy that's taking my side just went out and got gelded and singing the boys' choir in Vienna.
Yeah, okay, well, whatever you say, Ted. But that's the point that I'm trying to make, Phil, to keep the sponsors happy. But yes, we can mention other restaurants, we can mention all kinds of things, but you always have to back it up with something. For instance, if I were to say, I like to work out at Harry's Gym. Now, our sponsor is this guy, Richard, whatever, that we just had on. You're that guy?
Yes, like Swenson or something?
Yeah. You say, but Richard Swenson is top, so where I work out is a place where, yeah, it's okay, but I'm afraid I get crabs if I put my clothes in their locker. You see what I'm saying?
I can't do that, man.
What do you mean you can't do that? Why can't you do that?
Because I'm going to get sued. I'll get sued if I see you're going to get crabs putting your clothes in their locker.
Well, you know,
know what? You guys work it out any way you want, all right? But the next time I hear about another steakhouse on your airwaves, I want to hear you say, yeah, it's okay, but it tastes like it came out of someone's ass compared to Ted's of Beverly Hills. That's all I ask. Just a very simple mention like that.
Yeah, that's not that bad.
That's not that bad at all.
Are you guys crazy or something? Phil talking that way, people are going to they're gonna think one of two things. He's nuts, or the places that he's talking about are good, but then they taste... I don't get it.
Yeah. In other words, people won't think I'm credible talking about Ted Bell.
Well, put it any way you want to put it. Say any garbage you want to say. Just make sure it comes in under two reels. All right?
That's all we're saying, Phil.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you very much, guys. It's been great talking with you here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. There's Ted Bell, and there is David G. Hall. And both of these guys are just phenomenal guys. And they're... Get out of here, will you?
Talking about, man. All you have to do...
Thank you.
Well, just to follow up, all you have to do is say, I love the grill there on the alley, but remember what's in an alley? Garbage cans. And that's pretty much, I think that's where they get the food they serve you. I'm Ted Bell.
What is that, a fire behind you?
Oh, wait, let me put it out. Somebody got a fire hose here. All I want to...
All right, so Ted Bell.
Yeah, from Ted's of Beverly Hills.
I think that Ted expects a miracle. I think he expects far too much as a sponsor. I don't think you should have to worry about mentioning other steakhouses and so forth, so long as you are fair with him. But I don't think you have to say, because it's the grill on the alley, that that's where they get their food.
Now, it is kind of a weird name.
No, it's not a weird name. It's not a weird name at all. All right, folks, we're going to be coming back here. Frank Gray.
Yes, Frank is out. He's wrapping up a round of golf.
Well, today was the end of the Masters. Sergio Garcia, or yesterday, I should say Sunday, well, depending upon whether you're listening to us live.
But we get it, so.
Frank Gray is going to be talking with us about the future of Steve Bannon. Tommy Jones Golf Supplies. I've got all of the gloves, all of the clubs. These are some real, real important times for golf. Golf is better than ever, bigger than ever, and you're playing worse than ever. There are more golfers, more lousy golfers, fewer places to golf, but bigger golf courses. You've got different kinds of clubs, but none of them can help you. You've got all kinds of different balls, but most of them explode. They're gag things. You know, joke balls. If you'll pardon the expression, joke ball. Yes, all of these things are out there, and none of them do you any good. Until you come to me, I'll show you how to golf, at least to the point where people don't laugh you right off of the tee box. Win? No, you won't. Finish a round of golf without being laughed at and pointed at? Yes, you will. Come on over. We'll give you the lesson of a lifetime. There's golf balls, there's golf clubs, there's golf gloves, there's golf balls, there's golf gloves, there's golf clubs, there's golf balls, there's golf... Come on over to Tommy Jones and learn how to play a round of golf that won't have people laying on their asses laughing until they're sick. Five locations, one in the burger.
Galen Shaw here reminding you to pick up your backstage pass for the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Yes, the backstage pass allows you access to the world's greatest website, the largest repository of classic, brilliant radio material on the planet Earth. Just go to philhendryshow.com, pick up a backstage pass for a month or a year. Your BSP entitles you to chat with Phil Hendry on Friday nights, access the archives, listen to all kinds of miscellany radio and TV interviews, television pilots, and of course, our very deep and illustrious press section that we haven't added to for 2 years.
The world famous Phil Hendry Show website at philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry Show.com. Frank Gray. Oh boy, it is a golf weekend. You know, the Masters is one of those, things that whether you're a golf fan or not, it's a joyous event. It's a joyous thing to watch and a joyous thing to enjoy. Frank, how are you?
I'm better than Custer, young man.
Did you watch the Masters?
Well, I watched a little bit of it. You know, it's funny. I was out golfing this weekend doing a couple of business deals, trying to hammer down a couple of deals. I had Bert Dallin out here. Margaret, you remember her, right?
Yes, I do, Frank.
So she and I went into the clubhouse, and her wife was out in the car, and she finally went out and got him, and he came in. Great, great gal. Do you know Doris?
Oh, I do know Doris, yes.
Yeah, well, he's a great gal, and Bert's a great guy. So she and him had lunch with me and watched the Masters and saw Sergio Garcia finally win one, and she's a great golfer. I mean, it's a wonderful tournament. When Bobby Jones started the Masters tournament, I don't think she had any idea that it would become as big as it is. And, of course, now, you know, Augusta allows women. They never allowed women before, but now they do. And I talked to one of the members, and he's a little petite gal, 5'1", but he hits the hell out of the ball, even though he's a woman. So
you talked to one of the first female members?
I don't know if he was one of the first female members, but he was one of the female members, and he told me that being a woman in Augusta is quite daunting. But he said, I'm going to get out there and I'm going to tear it. If you pardon the language, he said, I'm going to get out there and tear it a new ass. And he did. He went out and I think played par golf.
Well, that's pretty good for a golf course like that, right?
Oh, especially, an amateur.
Talking to Frank Gray. Okay, Frank, what about Steve Bannon and all this stuff that's going on there at the White House with Jared Kushner?
The word that I'm getting on Steve Bannon, first of all, Kushner had no business at all showing up in Iraq dressed the way that she was. It was embarrassing. It embarrassed the military. Did you see anything about that?
Yeah, I saw the way that he was dressed. It was, let's put it this way, he looked very preppy.
Well, yeah, she looked preppy, but one of the guys in the office said that she looked like a chick. I mean, the pants were tight and looked like she had hips. I mean...
Well, it didn't look that way to me, Frank, but it certainly did look out of place.
It absolutely did look out of place.
Well, what happened? I didn't see this. Apparently, Jared Kushner was in Iraq.
Yeah, Jared Kushner was in Iraq at the behest of her father, and she asked her to go, and so she's there. And she's dressed in a blazer, and she's got on the little the slacks and the sockless loafers.
Sockless loafers?
Yes, yes.
Well, I don't know if that was the case.
I believe it was. There were no wearing the loafers, the slip-ons, and just looked asinine. She looked like she just came out of a freshman orientation for, you know, Billy Barty's Boy Academy or something. It just was absolutely...
Yeah, well, in any event, it did look out of place, but I don't think that the military scoffed that much.
Well, okay, Frank, whatever you say. I know you're an old military guy, but or an old Army guy, I should say, but I would have to say that were it me, I'd be very embarrassed to watch the son of the President of the United States, the son-in-law of the President of the United States, walking off of a military helicopter, and there she is dressed like she's... getting ready to, I don't know, go to the debutante ball. Jesus Christ.
All right, Dev. So it's kind of hard to... So what has this got to do, though, with Steve Bannon?
Well, first of all, this is what's going on. And Bannon is having to fight a bloody fight to the finish with her. Now, you imagine this. Steve Bannon, who's a veteran of these ideological wars... I told you I'm on... Hold on for a minute. I got to hit this ball. There's a piece of shit. You happy? I tell these guys I'm on the radio, so I don't want to take any shit. All right, then give me a quadruple bogey, like I give a shit.
Frank, the language.
Sorry, Phil. So Bannon is fighting an ideological battle with this guy Kushner, who's showing up in Iraq like little Lord Fauntleroy in her cutesy poo blazer and her little. With the dark, the navy blue blazer and the cream colored slacks. Jesus,
yeah, it's real. It's pushing it.
Oh yeah, it's pushing. So Bannon's in Washington watching this take place, and the next thing Bannon knows, she's out. She's sitting there like a lump of you know what on a tree stump, and Trump's gonna walk by and go, "What's your problem?" And Bannon's gonna say, "How come I don't get to go to Iraq and all of that?" And Trump's going to say, "Oh, quit your crying, you fat tub of gut." And that's the way it's going to go. See, because Trump...
Well, do you think that Trump is being that cruel or that offensive?
There's no such thing as cruel in the world of politics, Phil. She's got to do what she's got to do. Donald Trump's... The perception of Donald Trump is that she's a very strong man and that she knows what she wants. It may be wrong, but that's the perception. And that Jared Kushner... one word from Trump, and she can make Jared Kushner seem like something out of a motorcycle, like a hell angel. Okay.
Like the Hell's Angels. You're trying to tell me this guy Kushner looks like a Hell's Angel, huh?
If Trump says it, if Trump deems it so,
You better believe it.
Oh, bull crap. The guy, man, he doesn't look like a Hell's Angel.
I'm telling you, if Trump drops the word and says she's a Hell's Angel, then she looks like one.
Well, she doesn't look like one to me, I'll tell you that. And it would take a whole hell of a lot from Donald Trump to make her look like, make him look like one. We're talking with Frank Gray about Jared Kushner's ideologic battle with Frank, with Steve Bannon. And I don't even know if it's an ideological battle, Frank, or it's just he's the son-in-law.
Well, yeah, she's the son-in-law. She's married to the daughter's to the daughter's president. And
what do you mean she's married to the daughter's president?
I mean, excuse me, she's married to the president's daughter, and that's a combination you can't beat, Phil. Because when you've got your son-in-law and she's married to your daughter, and you think the world of him, because take a look at Ivanka Trump. Look at him. Walking around in those skirts with the big, you know, the 3-inch heels, and he's out there golfing, and he's got the children. He believes in women's rights, and as a woman, he will fight for them, dressed like, you know, like $1 million. And then he waits at night for her to get home in her blue blazer and her cream-colored slacks. I mean, it's a hell of a thing to have to battle against, and that's what Steve Bannon's up against. And what she got, she's got hair that looks like it hasn't been combed in years and years and years, a big fat tub on guts on her. She probably goes home and drinks fortified wine and flips on the TV and has a hamburger in a small little paper wrapper that she pulls out from, I don't even want to think about it, you know.
All right, Frank, hold on for just a minute here. We're talking to Frank Gray, and you are certainly welcome to give us a call here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show about Steve Bannon and Bannon's, the fact that Steve Bannon is sort of on the outs right now, at least that's the way it seems. People are thinking he's going to get fired, and I don't know that that's the case, you know?
It's hard to say whether she's going to get fired or not. Steve Bannon was the, as she likes to say, she's the bomb thrower. You know what I'm saying, Mr. Henry?
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like she's going to be throwing any bombs anytime too soon. But that's just my feeling about that.
All right, let's go over here to Brad on line one. Hi, Brad. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Frank Gray and me, Phil Hendry, and the rest of the crew here.
Oh, hi, Phil. Mr. Gray, always love listening to your take on politics and on the law. And let me tell you, as a person that's golfed Rancho Park a lot, you have my sympathies.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Mr. Gray, what do you feel Steve Bannon can do to get back in the good graces of Donald Trump? Or is this just a matter, like you were saying, of family versus family?
Well, I don't think there's anything that she can do. She is, she's sort of alone out there on the perimeter, while Jared and Ivanka have the president's complete trust, with Jared and the cream-colored slacks and the blue blazer.
Well, do you really think that matters? That he's dressed kind of like a sissy? Do you think that matters?
I would matter to me. I don't know whether the president notices. I don't know if she sees that or not. But Ivanka, he's got to see it. And I would hope that Ivanka would advise his husband to dress more conservatively.
Now, let me ask you. I saw some tweets listening to you when you say he and she and it's the wrong gender. Don't you realize that it confuses people such as myself who really want to have faith in you and believe in you, but then I realize that your mind is half rotted from gonorrhea, or as Mr. Dowder had put it this weekend, Godzilla, queen of the...
All right, our number...
What did you do?
What did I do? I just dumped that guy.
Yeah, that guy should have been allowed on there.
What was he talking about, Godzilla? Oh, that's the Chris Norton.
Yeah,
the whole thing with Chris Norton. Frank Gray on the line with us here from Rancho Park as he's doing a little golfing. Sorry about that, Frank.
I don't give a sweet goddamn.
And we're talking about Steve Bannon. So Steve Bannon out there on the perimeter all by himself. You don't think he's going to get fired? Where does he go?
Well, I can't say that she won't get fired. I can't say that she will get. But if she's not fired, obviously the president will find a nice, cozy little office for her to sit in and elevate herself above the fray and be the intellectual, I think, of the Trump administration. I think that's what Steve Bannon should be. I think that's what she's been. Steve Bannon is a Navy veteran, okay? Steve Bannon is, Steve Bannon's been a bomb thrower. Steve Bannon has been through it. She's tough, and she's seen it all. And I think that the president should just give her an office where she can sit up there and
smell her own armpits and just be the man that she is. And I think that'll...
All right, Frank, thank you very much.
What are you doing? Yeah, hold on, Margaret.
Thank you very much, Frank.
What is this, anyway?
What are you doing?
Look, you can hear the man is like half-addled as it is, and I didn't like that Godzilla crack either, so...
Well, all right, Margaret, and I understand that Frank suffers from that.
Yes, he does suffer from that. That's why he has gender confusion.
Yeah, I thought he was on the mend.
He's on the mend in that he...
In that he's...
He's not nuts, all right, but he's going to continue with that. I just don't like the whole idea, and I heard that caller bring it up, too.
Well, I can, work on keeping him out.
Yeah, we can screen it a lot better.
Just make sure that people don't mention it anymore, okay?
Because I think it makes Frank, it makes him into the clown that I know that he is anyway, you know?
Well, that makes sense.
You know what I mean.
Well, not really. Okay, Margaret, we'll try and do what we can for Frank, and we appreciate your comments in that endeavor. All right,
condescend to me.
I'm not condescending. Anyway, folks, it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Jeff Dowder and Jay Santos ahead. Goblin Boy and the full copy of Fairy in the Helmet coming up. World-famous Phil Henry Show for the El Pacifico in Southern California. We'll be right back. Hello, Jack Frankenstein here for Frankenstein Ford. You know, we've got a car we could put you in. I don't care what kind of car you want. If it's a Ford, I've got it at Frankenstein Ford. We've got the two-tone, the cream-colored. We got the big, the small, the little. Every kind of Ford you can imagine, Frankenstein Ford. Matter of fact, we don't even have Fords. We just have cars. Any kind of car that you want. They're all used cars. But I like to call it Frankenstein Ford because that's just, it's alliterative. It sounds good. It's like a throwback thing. Go to Frankenstein Ford on the freeway. Frankenstein Ford on the freeway and near the fairway. Frankenstein Ford on the freeway near the fairway at Fairbanks and Fanoa. Frankenstein Ford of the freeway and the fairway at Fairbanks and Fanoa for, well, Frankenstein Ford.
Hello, I'm Susan Blackford. Our schools need more than what they're getting right now. They need erasers. They need chalk. We need desks. We need teachers. We need school bells. We've got such a shortage of those. Join me in, we have a dire shortage of school bells. Won't you help? Won't you contribute? You won't? You don't give a sweet Jesus, do you?
Not really, no.
The shortage of school bells is affecting our schools. How will kids know it's recess? How will they know to leave the classroom, get out and get away? So that people can go in there and mop. How will they know to get out of the school so people can go in and clean it up after their dirty little asses have been sitting in there? We have no school bells.
I hope you'll join me. It's the School Bell Fund. Donate, won't you? And that way we can go down to the school bell store and buy some. They're there. They have a gigantic school bell shopping plaza, but no one can get near it because they don't have the money.
That sounds like bullshit.
It's not. Just
give it to me, baby. Yeah! Baby. That there is Rick James. And it's the Phil Henry Show.
Thank you very much, bud. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, ladies and gentlemen, joining us on our newsmaker line. You know, we had mentioned, and I was sorry to hear it, but we did have mentioned that Jay had a run-in, as you know, with some neighborhood people. Where they were very disparaging of Jay and the men that he has under his command as they try to, you know, do their best for the neighborhood.
You know, can I say something? I don't think that, you know, Jay, we've had our problems, we've had our difficulties, but I'm not here trying to say that you don't care about your community. Of course you do. But I think you have to expect that someone is going to give you a hard time when you're walking around out there in your little pith helmet, you know.
Well, you see my little pith helmet,
Well, you know, you got the pith helmet, Bermuda shorts, and brogue shoes.
Well, you know, if what you want to do is make fun of me, that's fine. I've got no problem with you making fun of me, that's fine. However, if it becomes a cause celeb where the work of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is overshadowed by your little poem, I got to tell you, I'm just very disappointed indeed.
All right, now, people tell me that you got a hold of this poem.
I did get a little poem, and you know, I know the general doesn't want me to really talk about it, but I think it's important at least to give people an idea of what it is we're up against here with Citizens Auxiliary Police, especially when it comes time to some of these very insulting things. Now, the poem is called "Fairy in a Helmet," and I had started to read it the other night on the Phil Henry Show. It goes, "The Fairy in the Helmet." The fairy in the helmet came up. Wait, hold up a minute, Johnny. Will you hold this for a minute there? What the hell you think you're trying to do? Trying to grab my penis? I'm sorry, Phil.
Hey, you guys want to watch it? What the hell are you talking about?
I said you want to hold this. I didn't mean my penis.
What?
I didn't mean my penis. I didn't mean that.
Do you mind?
I'm sorry, Ms. Gray. Here is the fairy in the helmet. Hold on for a minute. All right, fairy in the helmet. The fairy in the helmet came up to me that day. He said that he had thought about some things to me he'd say. He said for me to spread my arms and legs apart.
Hold on for what, bud?
You've got a guy on the phone that's just pissed off.
We got a guy on the phone that's pissed off. Why don't you wait until Jay is done with what it is that he's doing?
Yeah. All right, Phil.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, let me say something. Why don't you get off the fairy in the helmet? Every time you're on that show, you talk about fairy in the helmet. You give the whoever wrote that more publicity.
Is this Branson? It is. It's Jack Branson, right?
You're giving the guy more publicity.
You know what? I'm going to do what I got to do.
You're an idiot, Santos. Everyone on the block knows it. But you give the guy more publicity. You've been talking about fairy in a helmet for the last 3 days.
What is your name, sir?
I'm Jack Branson. I live down the street from this nut. You can walk around wearing your pith helmet. That's fine.
Hey, Branson, you were the house, the first house we went to, you had to rewind your videotape.
Who gives a shit? I tell it.
Okay, so that, cut that off?
Yeah, we did.
But I want to get Jay back here. Jay Santos back. Sorry about that, Jay. Didn't mean to have you be the brunt of that. You know that guy?
Oh, yeah, I know that guy. Jack Branson. He lives on our street. He's one of the notorious anti-Citizens Auxiliary Police people.
How do you know how do you know he didn't write the poem?
Who's she?
He. How do you know he didn't write Fairy in a Helmet?
Oh, no, it's not. He doesn't have the imagination. This guy, Brandon, understand. Jack Branson doesn't have the imagination to say happy birthday to somebody, well, write a poem. So I can deeply, deeply, deeply assure you that Branson didn't do that.
All right, so you were. Can I continue with the poem?
Right. Fairy in a Helmet came up to me that day. He said that he had thought about some things to me he'd say. He said for me to spread my arms and legs apart. He looked like some real clown as he wrote upon a chart. He had on a blue armband, Bermuda shorts and brogues. He looked like after work was done, he'd go get his pole smoked.
Do you mind?
Jay.
I'm sorry. That was a bad part. I'm sorry.
He looked like he...
Jesus.
All right, I'm sorry. That was a bad part. I asked him if he felt real big, pushing me around. He said I'd be the object of a full three-step takedown. Hold on.
Did you run about the training?
What the hell is that?
We got an alert. It might be Jack Brankman or Bagman.
What was that guy's name?
Yeah, what was his name?
I don't know. Hey, I'll handle it later, okay? I asked him if he felt real big, pushing me around. He said I'd be the object of a full three-step takedown. The flare drop and a peep tom bust were also in my future. He put my name down and address in a substation computer.
And that's it?
That's all we've got so far, yeah. We've been trying to put it together and construct it.
Well, so why are you doing that?
There might be a lawsuit, okay?
Well, man, I doubt that.
You think you're going to sue them for what?
For slander. There might be a lawsuit. If I can put it together, there could very well be a lawsuit in it. That's all I'm trying to say.
You know what? Not only is there not a lot. Look at Jay. I started out by saying I admire what your intentions are, and I'm sorry if I'm giving you a hard time, but if every time you get sidetracked by jive like this, that jive monkey, jeez. Well, man, it doesn't sound like it's worth your time.
Hey, let me tell you what. When the Citizens Auxiliary Police, yeah, when our public image is being assaulted, buddy,
Yeah, buddy, you know what?
Buddy, you know.
Well, you know what?
You know what you got. What your man got to do what man do.
Man, well, I don't know, man. It doesn't seem like... Sounds like a waste of time to me.
It's not a waste of time for me.
So you're going to find out what the rest of the poem says and then sue them.
That's exactly right. Because it seemed to be open season on Citizens Auxiliary Police. Everybody giving us a hard time. You too, General. I mean, how much of your crap do you think I'm going
to
take?
As much as I want you to.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you very much, Jay. I do hope you get that figured out. We're big supporters of yours, except for the fact that sometimes you violate the constitutional rights of people. Other than that, you're bitching.
Thanks very much, Phil. We do very much appreciate that.
Okay, Jay. Thanks a lot. Have a good day.
Right. And I'd like to give the phone.
Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on the Phil Henry Show. Be right back.
Stick around. Jeff Dowder is up next with Goblin Boy, Cisco Green Wine, and Mountain Dew. I don't know what this is.
Talk about Goblin Boy.
Goblin Boy, is that right? Yeah,
Phil Henry Show. Brockner's Cancer Screening. You can come to our cancer screening clinics and find out whether or not you've got cancer. Brockner's Cancer Screening Clinics can catch that cancer, or maybe we can't. It's a big crapshoot. Brockner's Cancer Screening Clinics perhaps can keep you from getting cancer. We know it's a serious topic, so we don't even try to monkey around with it. We'll just be really honest with you. Maybe we can and maybe we can't. Brockner's Cancer Screening Clinics, they take it seriously, and they won't lie to you. I'm afraid I got bad news for you. Brockner's Cancer Screening. It's a great time to get away with the family to the Cochise Beach Resorts. Their beautiful blue waters will really reinvigorate you. Great restaurants, fantastic, fantastic rooms, hot tubs, beautiful, beautiful lounges, big, cool drinks. There's nothing like the beach, and there's nothing like the gorgeous, romantic sunset that you'll see setting over the ocean. Yeah!
Thought I'd pop on here with the Goblin Boy, and this is the Goblin Boy recipe that Mr. Henry asked me to bring on a program. Goblin Boy is a drink that I first read about on a Steve Bannon feed. Speaking of Steve Bannon, and it goes something like this: Goblin Boy is Cisco Green Apple Wine and Mountain Dew, and you mix equal parts 50% Cisco Green Apple Wine and 50% Mountain Dew. Cisco Green Apple Wine is fortified, and it's a green drink, but that's why it's called Goblin Boy. And I think it's very refreshing, but if you're going to drink a Goblin Boy, you should not have anything else that you got to do that day. No driving, barely any walking, okay? And no using electric carving knives, no shaving. Don't get anywhere near a curling iron. Don't use any kind of electric wall heaters. I wouldn't even barbecue. You know, if you have to eat something, walk to a Carl's Jr. or a McDonald's. Don't drive, man. Don't do it, man. Don't do it. Okay, this is Jeff Downer with today's secret ingredients, the Goblin Boy. And you can pick all those ingredients up at your local supermarket.
Goblin Boy. That's it, man, for today. That's it for today. Thank God, man. What a Monday. Yeah. Very weird. We're going to see you guys tomorrow. Thank you very much, Margaret and Bud.
You're welcome, Phil.
Yeah, Jerry.
And thank you, General, for putting up with our ridiculousness. And all of you cats, we will see you. Let's see. Well, we'll see you tomorrow. Let's see. Oh, don't forget, get that backstage pass, because that is your entree to, well, our brand spanking new website. And we have a cool, cool promotion coming up. We're going to have a special series of bar fights between our characters and our guests. And it will behoove you to start picking your favorites in that one.
The what?
You're going to do? Bar fights. These are going to be bar fights between our frequent guests and those who appear on the show. It's going to be great.
I don't want to have anything to do with it.
I'm afraid you don't have really...
Yeah, you got nothing to say about it. Mr. Henry created you.
You know what, Bud? I don't care who created you. I'll end you.
World-famous Phil Henry Show, executive produced by me, Phil Henry, for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One. You're talking about a bar fight, man. I don't lose those, friend.